And we're back live. Hey there, I'm Dr. Bruce Roberts, your pet's ally. Glad to be back after a really nice rest. And we've got some great questions, so let me jump into them. Let's see, we'll jump over to this, to the group page to start with. Here we go. All right, cool. So let's see here. It looks like the internet has bogged out. So Karen is asking about Dino, and I am so sorry, Karen. This really stinks. But there's a couple of things. So she's asking about degenerative myelopathy. He's got a disc at L7S1, but it doesn't make sense for the weakness and incoordination. So they're doing the genetic test. Then he's on currently prednisone, gabapentin, and famotidine. And your vet thought the holistic approach would help, and she or he is correct there. So this is the degenerative myelopathy test, and there's a couple of things here. One is that it says that he is affected slash at risk, and based on the symptoms you're describing, Karen, I think probably he is indeed affected. So here's what we do, and they do start to say an intensive physical therapy regimen has been shown to benefit them and keep them walking for longer, and this is absolutely true. You know, keeping their muscles strong and improve coordination, I think that's absolutely true. And then aminocaproic acid, vitamin E, and vitamin C, and I think all of those suggestions are good. This disease, thankfully, is not painful, which is one of the few good things I can tell you here. Yeah, Pam, I know. I'm so sorry. I did a quick Facebook video, and I'll redirect it here as well. My brain is still not fast enough this morning. So as far as degenerative myelopathy goes, the things that I used to use are, in addition to those supplements, are alpha-lipoic acid, and CBD is another great option. There's a lot of research out there that shows that CBD2 receptors become more plentiful, meaning that the thought is that if you give them something to fill them, then the body works better. So this is again where I would consider using CBD at a high dose. The folks at CBD Dog Health, I think, really make a great product, and this is where I would use their Heal product. Now, I'm not sure how long he's been on the prednisone, gabapentin, and famotidine. If it's been a couple of weeks, you don't see a big difference, I would consider weaning down off of the prednisone and stopping it, which means that you can then stop the famotidine. Gabapentin will sometimes help because it seems to help increase the connection between the toe and the brain. So I think that's worthwhile considering. Oftentimes veterinarians will use a super high dose that is terribly sedating, and it's not a great one. So check that out. Happy to do a consultation with you to get you some other options, but this is a situation where physical therapy is going to be very helpful. You know, if you've got somebody that can set you up a PT program, resistance swimming, things of that nature are going to be super helpful as well. So let me know what I can do to help you, but you're definitely in the right track. And then things that are anti-inflammatory, as Lolly suggests, turmeric curcumin can be very helpful. Keeping, you know, probiotics, keeping the good guys in charge, and then omega-3 fatty acids at a high dose. So, Pam, so I do not forget again, I can't remember, I don't think you're on Facebook. No, I think you are on Facebook. So I will drop this link in really quick for you. But here's the long and short of it. So like everything, we tend to say, oh, this is absolutely the best thing in the universe, and you should feed lots and lots and lots of it because it will make everything better. So Now, on the human side, they're starting to say, oh, coconut oil really is a saturated fat. And when people, when people use tons and tons of it, their cholesterol goes sky high. And it really, it's like everything. We're not smart enough somehow to keep everything in balance. So here's my long and short. Here's the Facebook link about grapeseed oil, so you can kind of go back and watch that if you'd like. But here's the deal. Grapeseed oil, like many of the seed-based oils, are higher in omega-6 fatty acids than omega-3 fatty acids. And so there is a great deal of discussion about, okay, this is evil and vile and awful. And so now what do? You go back to light olive oil, which is a monounsaturated oil fatty acid, which means that you get this unique type of fatty acid that is less inflammatory, associated with better health, things of that nature. I think this really takes us back to everything in moderation. Don't monofeed something all the time, as far as, you know, don't always use coconut oil. We did that, and then all of a sudden we had a terrific amount of dogs developing pancreatitis, because there is something about coconut oil and possibly the way it's processed that really induces pancreatitis. Does that mean that that coconut oil is now back to being evil incarnate? No, it's not. It just means that you shouldn't use tons of it all the time. And does that mean that grapeseed oil is now evil incarnate? No, it doesn't. It means that you shouldn't use it all the time. The other thing is that many of the bad effects are secondary to cooking, which you're not doing. So grapeseed oil has been recommended for cooking because it has a really high smoke point. And what the cooking does to any oil is to denature it to the point where some of the bad products or the good stuff in it become bad because they've been denatured and turned into something else. So I hope that is helpful. Other options are safflower oil, canola oil I would definitely still avoid because so much of it is processed with hexane, as can be safflower oil, grapeseed oil, avocado oil, etc. So the things you want to look for are that it is organic, ideally, and secondly, it is cold pressed and not extracted from the seed with some sort of a solvent like hexane, which is the way most seed oils are produced. So Pam, May, I hope that helps. But yeah, it's really like, okay, what do we do now? But again, I think if we use everything in moderation, that's probably the way to go. So let's see, let me make sure what else we've got here. So Jennifer is asking about small piece training treats. And there's tons and tons of stuff out there that vary from, you know, the really gnarly stuff that's got lots of glycerin and things of that nature in it to kind of hold it together. What we use is, if we've got some leftover chicken, we just shred it practically and then dry it in the oven. And again, you know, I can't remember if Bea is sensitive to chicken or not, but you can use whatever protein she does well with. Just take it into tiny, tiny, tiny little bits, dry it in the oven at 250 degrees for a few hours, and then you have these crunchy treats that disappear right off the end of your finger. And Sri was asking, I think I answered this last time, but just to be sure, is if giving spirulina daily can cause urine pH to be alkaline and in turn cause a UTI. And it can indeed cause the urine pH to go up because it is a vegetable or a plant-based material. That doesn't necessarily mean that she will get a urinary tract infection though. So generally that's another process. So hopefully that is helpful. Let me pop back over to the page too, because I think there's a couple of more there. And Jamie was kind of responding back to Karen about degenerative myelopathy. And I think that's it. You know, just inflammation control. is really, really important here. And this is where using things like electroacupuncture are super, super, super helpful as well. So I hope this gets you some help, Karen. I'm really sorry to hear this for Dino because he's a goodie. And Willie, he is maintaining his weight, which is awesome. She's not noticing any differences with low methionine diet, and that's good. So if he's maintaining weight, that's really where we want to go. He seems to tire a little bit more quickly, so she's not sure if it's the cancer chemo or he's just older. Yeah, and I like this. Dr. Lisa said that, you know, he's getting chemo, so how much worse can the heartworm medication be? So here's the thing to remember about heartworms, I should say. And this is a great video of the kids enjoying the outdoors. And it's amazing that it's up in the 70s already. So what I would suggest about that is once the temperature hits 55 degrees, above 55 degrees consistently, that's when heartworms can start to be a problem. So I think you probably still have a month or so. And I have to agree, I think heartworm prevention isn't horrible. And I think it has saved so many dogs. I mean, I started practicing in 1990 when the Filera bits were available, and that was kind of it. And it was just horrible. I treated heartworm prevention at least 3 times a week. That's when we still used the injectable intravenous stuff. And it's bad. So once you're over 55 degrees consistently, that's when I would start the prevention. The American Heartworm Society says now that it really is okay to use it every 60 days. And I am so sorry to hear that he did not respond to the CCNU this last time, and he's got some stuff that's coming up that's going to get a little bit worse, and then he'll be changing chemo until we get the test results. And I'm glad that you sent off the genomic testing, because I think that's going to help your doc get things a bit better targeted. Let's see, Kathy is saying, and I think we got an email to you, Kathy, so let's see if we didn't, I apologize. So what I would start doing is trialing food. So Daisy and Dottie have been on their elimination diet as per their Glacier Peak tests. And so what we're going to do is start trialing foods. And so what that means is that for dogs this size, we're going to add a tablespoon, maybe 2 tablespoons per meal for three meals, and then wait 72 hours to see if there's an issue with the food or not. And then for you, that's going to be more vomiting, things of that nature. Now, the other thing I would do, Kathy, is keep a notebook, because this gets really confusing and you've also got 2 dogs that you're dealing with. So what I would suggest is keep a notebook, keep a page for Daisy, 1 for Dottie, and each of the foods, and, you know, and at the end of 72 hours, see what has happened and go from there. The other thing that's interesting is that she switched from RX probiotics that she has in the fridge, and the rice bran is there in it, and she noticed, and I think you were using the Symbiotics because the phytospore has beef in it. So what I would do is actually trial beef first, and then because the poop quality is not as good on the RX probiotic. So try the beef first. Check that out. If that's not a problem, then you can start using phytospore, because I can't remember if you have some of that or not. And if not, then that is when I would go back to the other one if beef does continue to be a problem. So I think that is what we have for this week. I'm glad that you all are doing well. And I hope everybody stays happy and healthy. interesting. It would be interesting to hear your comments on what you're doing about or not doing about getting a COVID vaccine. This is one that that I will be doing, largely because it's going to be, you know, really important to continue traveling. They're going to have vaccine passports, and indeed they should. So that's what I've got for you this week. I'm hoping that we can get the Pfizer vaccine because that seems to be the one that is most effective against all the variants out there. They're just now starting to test the Moderna one, so we really don't know what the questions are. And you can bet I will be taking Thuja after the vaccine both times, because I had a vaccine reaction to rabies a long time ago. But that's when we were basically the beta testers, as are millions of Americans and people around the world right now for these vaccines. So until next week, take good care. Give everybody a big hug for me. Thanks.